Corinthians chapter 2, we started last week looking at how to yield of the Spirit. Someone says, we're preparing for Holy Ghost meeting. You say, what's the title that we gave? Yielding to the Spirit. How to yield. Okay, how to yield to the Spirit. Okay, so, and we said one or two things which we're going to continue this morning. First Corinthians chapter 2, because it's important, the nature of meeting we are having, Holy Ghost meetings in the month of August, all Sundays. We will cover more ground if we are ready and prepared, and we learn the principles in God's word concerning how to flow with the Spirit of God and to come for the meeting and then start learning how to flow. So this is like a follow-up to the previous teaching that we had last month when we looked at believers' meetings. Amen? So we are continuing this morning. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency or speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, if you're not careful when you're reading, you will think verse 5 is addressing mainly verse 4. But verse 5 is actually addressing verse 1. In other words, there's a consequence to verse 5. It's found in verse 1. Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, I did something. I didn't come with excellency of speech. You can look at that as, I didn't depend on eloquence. I didn't come with you with fancy stories. I didn't come with you with humanistic theories or ideas. He said, when I came unto you, I came declaring unto you the testimony of God. Hallelujah. That is what God has accomplished in Christ Jesus was my team, was my song, was my preaching, was my message. That's what I came to declare. What was Paul's plan? What was God's intent? Verse 5 says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but what? In the power of God. So you can look at God's power in light of what Paul is talking about here as all that God has accomplished in Christ Jesus on your behalf and my behalf. So Paul said, when I came to you, I came to declare the testimony of God, because I gave you in detail, line by line, the victory that Christ obtained for us on the cross. He says, the purpose is that so that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men. So there is man's way of getting results. Now, remember, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he was the first to preach Christ to them. So this is a reference to what happened when he got to the Corinthians, when he preached the gospel there for the first time. This is how he got them saved. He said, and when I was preaching this gospel, you notice that my speech and my preaching were not with the enticements of one's wisdom. They were in demonstration. So Paul was saying, because the message I'm preaching is a foundation of the signs and wonders you saw, it ensured that your faith stood in the power of God and not the wisdom of men. Hallelujah. So when we are preparing for Holy Ghost meeting, the reason we're looking at God's word in detail is because we need to understand that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we come to the month of August, we're not hoping things will happen. Understanding of God's word moves you beyond hoping things will happen to knowing things will happen. Which is God's word clearly gives us step-by-step instructions concerning what you ought to do if you want to see certain things happen. You are not the one making them happen. You are the vessel to which those things have been expressed. So Paul is telling them categorically. He says, when I came to you, he says, even my speech and my preaching were not. So Paul was one who decided, this is how I'm going to express God's power. He was the one who chose to do it. It wasn't a hit and miss affair. It wasn't something that Paul was like, I hope this meeting something will happen. No. Paul said, I laid the foundation. I made sure that what I declared to you was a testimony of God. Now, if it's testimony of God, it's impossible for God to lie. So the only reason or the only way you won't see the power of God is if what I told you is a lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul was saying that my speech and my preaching, I right from day one, I didn't lean on human views of wisdom. What I gave to you was the gospel, which is what God has accomplished in Christ. And as a consequence of what accomplished, what you and I can expect to enjoy and to experience. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So last week we began to look at the last statements of Jesus just before he ascended and sat at the Father's right hand. In Luke chapter 24, look at Luke chapter 4. And as we go on, I'm going to share one or two things with us along the line when it comes to the issue of our worship, because I think it was in 1987, Evan Kennedy Egan of blessed memory, gave a message to the church from the Lord Jesus and said that the Lord Jesus appeared to him and told him that if we're going to move on to a greater place of manifestation, we must get our worship right. We must get our worship right. Now, I know I'm jumping, but just bear with me. Can you please let me get this done? I'm not going to stay up here today. Let me look at your faces directly. It's a practical class. Hallelujah. Now, he told me, if we're going to get to a higher place of worship, that is, how much of God's power we see manifestation depends on us. That means there's some things we need to adjust, make right. Have you noticed in noble lands that we don't clap during worship? How many of you have noticed that? Let me see. You've noticed we don't clap during worship. Okay, there's a reason we don't clap during worship. Someone says, are you saying it's wrong to clap? No. We don't clap in the worship of God because it's not in the scriptures. All the scriptures we will find concerning clapping in the Old Testament, that's where you find it. You won't find a single one in the epistles. That means clapping was never part of praise and worship. Can you clap in time to the music? Yes. Can you clap to worship God? No. Clapping is applause. You don't applaud God, you worship God. But you applaud men. A minister is coming to minister to us. Let us welcome Pastor so and so. We put our hands together to appreciate the minister is coming. But you don't say, let's give Jesus a hand. A hand? Now, it's a common practice. Again, let me say, that is a practice doesn't make it the truth. Hallelujah. That is a practice doesn't make it the truth. So when you hear things like, let's give Jesus a hand, is it scriptural? It's unscriptural. That's putting God on a pedestal of man. So it's okay to applaud ministers that come to bless us. When we want to introduce them, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not part of worship. But when we want to worship the Father, we have clear instructions concerning what to do. The Bible says we're to lift up one holy hands without wrath and what? Doubting. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read from verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Who will have all men? You have to be fast. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? Next verse. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Yep, go on. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time? Next verse. Whereunto I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Verse 6, where we're going. I will therefore, or for the purpose of the fact that there's one mediator between God and man, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, doing what? Lifting up one holy hand. So during worship, it is scriptural that we lift up holy hands. It's not scriptural to clap. You know, the interesting thing is that even in the Old Testament, when clapping was mentioned, it was never mentioned in association with the worship of God. It was mentioned in a sarcastic way concerning nations who tried to come against Israel. That's what we were mentioned. So that something is a practice doesn't mean it is right. Now the challenge is this, when we import things into our culture as believers, I have no root in God's word, we will never attain a higher place of worship. We won't. Hallelujah. It's like saying in the New Testament, can you dance unto the Lord? You can't. Your dancing doesn't please him. I know you will like that. Can you dance in the spirit? Yes. Can you dance like David? No. Somebody says, why? Number one, you are not David. Even if your name is David. You are a new creation. All things are what? Passed away. Behold, nothing have become. Pastor, are you saying when we are worshiping, we shouldn't dance? Nope. Why are you dancing? You like the song. Why are you dancing? You are moving in line with the music. Is that fine? Yes. Are you dancing to worship? No. Hallelujah. Everybody's very quiet today. Let me change my message. Should we go to another text? Should we continue? There are dimensions of God's power. Now, for the past 1 month, I've been hearing in my spirit, surgeries, surgeries, surgeries. Those kind of things only take place when the glory of God is in a heavy manifestation. Here's the challenge. God doesn't just wake up and decide. In Nobunas Christian Center, in the month of August, my glory will be heavy. Mm-mm. We is glory is always available for his sons anytime. So when the spirit is prompting, there will be surgeries. There is an atmosphere where such things take place. There's an atmosphere where God's glory is in strong manifestation. You will see surgeries, things that doctors cannot handle, take place. Not just physical surgeries, surgeries on the hearts of men also take place. But there is a place of worship and yieldedness that we need to get to have a full expression of those things of the Spirit. So it's not a function of the minister. It's a function of every single member of the local assembly. The assembly agrees, this is what we want to see. This is what we want to do. So there is a cooperation. That is, all of us think the same. We believe the same. We expect the same. Then the glory of God will be manifestation. Somebody says why? Because a single person or individual can subtract from the manifestation of God's presence. In that sense, when I say manifestation, I'm talking about certain things will not be in expression because some people are what? Standing in the way of it. You know, it can be difficult, and I've seen people in several meetings to get people to yield who have refused to yield. The only spirit in existence who forces men to yield is the devil. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. Your created spirit is a gentleman. Jesus is a gentleman. He never forces. He cooks, he persuades, he uses his word to turn your heart to see the truth so that you can enjoy the benefits. But force is never involved. There can be promptings. There can even be sensations to push you in the right direction. It's a gentle prompting. You now have to yield to see the word. It never just comes upon you and you can't control yourself. Nope. That's not the spirit of the New Testament. As many as are led. So there's a cooperation on their part. They are. The same way you testify to the gospel, you were led out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the leading he's talking about. So if you were led out of darkness, you are now in the light. The leading continues to see many other things that are where you are now in the light. Hallelujah. So you went, wait, how many of you were forced to be saved? You were forced to confess Jesus under threat of death. No, you were persuaded. That means God's word came. The spirit of God used God's word that you had to convict your heart, isn't it? And then you got saved. So it was a choice, but a decision. Now the same way also, the Bible now says, as many as are led, or the same way you were led out of the flesh, out of the world system, into Christ, that leading continues, which is the same way you started out, is how you continue. You keep yielding all the way. So there are things we do corporately together to get the fullness of God's ability in manifestation. And it takes everyone. Acts chapter 2. From verse 1. Acts 2 from verse 1. Before we go back to where we were last week. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what? One accord in one place. Now, look at the similarity of this with 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 23. Let's look at similarity with this. Notice they were all with one accord in one place. If therefore the whole church be come together into what? Into what? So let me ask again. Did they come to church or the church came to a place? Acts chapter 2 verse 1 again. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. Isn't it? In one place. So who came together? The church. So it was when they came together they became one. It was the church that came into a place. That means it is persons. That's referred to as the church, not the building. It is a spiritual building where God houses, that's called the church. So he says, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place, to come together in one place in one accord simply means they have the same purpose, the same mind. They intend to do the same things. That's why the next verse of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24, look at what it says. And if all prophesy, he just told you, if all spoke with tongues, why are all speaking with tongues? They are all in one accord. How come they are in accord? They are the church. What did they agree to do? To worship God and to minister to one another. So they are in one accord. That means they have the same king, the same kind, they are brethren. They come from the same womb. So they came with a singular purpose in mind in their gathering. And what it means. So he says, if all of them spoke with tongues, those who are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say? It's possible because they don't understand, because they are not in accord with you. We did not say you're mad. He said, but if the same people who came together, if all prophesy, If all can prophesy, it means all are still what? In accord. That means they've agreed together. Hallelujah. They've agreed together. This is how we're going to do things. So Acts chapter 2 verse 1 is a gathering of people who are in accord. Accord means that they have agreed concerning what to do. Jesus has spent time teaching them. 120 people, they were taught. They gathered together. So they did the same thing together in yielding together. Look at Acts chapter 2 again. Verse 2 now. If you read verse 1 in context, verse 2 will make sense. Because I don't know why people jump to verse 2 and try to make sense out of verse 1 from verse 2. You make sense out of verse 2 from verse 1. It was their gathering together that produced it suddenly. So if they didn't come together, there will be no suddenly. Suddenly is like saying, now that they are together, certain things came into manifestation. So let me ask, was it God who decided when things will manifest or those who came together? That's very important. And suddenly there was, they came in sand from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and he filled all the house where they were what? Sitting. So they were sitting. Next verse. And they appeared unto them clothed not as fire, and they sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as what? We're going to examine that phrase, began to speak, because began to speak, if you follow what I shared with us last week, is them laying hold of the things of the Spirit. They began. The Holy Ghost gave utterance, but they began. They began means they decided when it will start. They were all in one accord, means that they agreed on what will happen, what they would do, and they started doing the same things. That implies that if you started laughing, because we're all in one accord, the same Spirit, the same nature, the same Father, the same Lord, the other person too starts laughing. That is what you do now. We all start laughing. If you start singing, all of us decide what should we be doing? Should be singing. If you start jumping, what should all of us be doing? If one person starts praying, what should everybody be doing? Well, because we're in one accord. So a lot of times, you learn how to flow with the Spirit by observing others. Almost everything I know about how to flow with the Spirit, I learned by observing others. I saw others healed. I saw men demonstrate. I saw people flow. I watched. The Holy Ghost meeting is a meeting where you don't keep your eyes closed. You are looking. Not in a questionable manner. In a manner of vision. Not that you are going, see how this one is dancing. You are here to dance. You are not free. You are just staring. No. We are all participators. We are together with one accord. One accord is because we have the same Spirit, the same nature. We are worshipping the same Father. So a Holy Ghost meeting is not a meeting where as a believer you stand aloof. The wrongest thing you can do in that meeting is to stand aloof. That means you have disconnected deliberately from the flow of God's power. Now, by reason of birth, you and I, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. Are you there? It says, but you are not in the flesh. Say, I'm not in the senses. I'm not a natural man. I'm a spiritual man. I've been born of God's Spirit. So right now, though I'm in my physical body, I'm in the Spirit, because I am of the Spirit. Now it says, but you are not in the flesh or in the senses, but where? In the Spirit. If it is true, if it's a fact that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Say amen. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Are you sure? Are you born of the Spirit? They say, if the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not, and this is serious, I'm going to step on some toes again. Have you heard those people say things like, there's nobody God cannot use to speak to you? It's a lie. It's not true. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, having the Spirit of Christ means if any man is not born again, he is none of his. So even if they're wearing white with long dread and they stop you with a message, it is a message from another source. If any man have not, he is none of his. Do they have a message? Yes. From which spirit? Another spirit. Let me be kind a little. Because some believers are so gullible. Somebody walked up to you in the bus stop. God sent me. He bypassed your pastor, your cell leader, all your leaders in church. He didn't use them. He ignored your spirit. And you are his son. He now sent white garment, long dreadlocks, usually dirty, to appear before you to give you a message and say the message was powerful. No, you are foolish. I didn't see. It says, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. That means they will still give him, but they didn't come from Christ. Say amen. So he says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that this is all well, so where are you right now? Are you in the flesh or in the Spirit? Let me tell you what to be in the Spirit means. It also means that you are in the reality of what Christ has done. You are living there now. That's where you live now. You are in the reality. A reality you can take up and express anytime, because you are there. You're not going to be there. So let me say to him, we don't get in the Spirit. We are in the Spirit. You can switch off from where you are, and you can switch on where you are, but you don't get there. You are there. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1. Let me tell you something about Holy Ghost meeting that's important, because if you don't understand that, you may not understand my style of teaching this morning. Because when it comes to Holy Ghost meeting, there are two dimensions. It's revelational and it is inspirational. That means the minister prays and studies, but it doesn't necessarily always have a text. It's when I got there that I got my text. So you just stay prayed up ready, then you just flow with whatever direction you sense to start with. So I just started from somewhere, isn't it? So you may think, is that, but it's inspiration as well as what revelational. So look at Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. If you misunderstand the Apostle John, you would think he wasn't always in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me what? A great voice as of a trumpet. That phrase, I was in the Spirit, is John telling us, I did something to be conscious of where I am. I was in the Spirit means I did something to be conscious of where I am. John is telling you, I prayed in the Spirit. Shall I say that again? I was in the Spirit doesn't mean I suddenly just switched. Mm-mm. Say, I'm in the Spirit. I have the Spirit of Christ. That Spirit dwells in me. It's my nature as a believer. So my status is Spirit born, Spirit led. So you are in the Spirit now. Again, let me say, it's very important that you get what I'm trying to communicate to you, because we have this mindset of like, when I get in the Spirit, and what you are trying to say is this, what you are really saying is when I yield to the Spirit. You don't get there, you yield to something that you already are. So if you know that you're already there, that's your starting point. Say, the Spirit realm is my starting point. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenlies. So you are seated there already now. Then to be in the Spirit simply means you yield to the environment where you are. The same way you're seated here this morning, if you yield to this environment where we are, there are many things you can do. One of the things you can do, you can cover yourself because you're feeling cold. You may decide to stand up because you want to eat yourself. What you're doing is you are responding to your physical environment. You know, when you go and pee, it's not your spirit peeing, it's your body praying. Yeah, I mean, you know, does your spirit pee? No answer. What am I saying? You are responding to your physical environment the same way you can respond to your spiritual environment. So you are in the Spirit now. You're not going to get in the Spirit. So when John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, John was saying, I deliberately did something to be conscious of where I am. Or I wanted to be aware and receive information from where I am. That's what he was saying. Hallelujah. So go back to Acts chapter 2 now. Verse 4. Because it's important. Because when we ask you to stand and prophesy, when we ask you to stand and give message in tongues and interpretation, when we ask you to move in the Spirit, we're not asking you to wait for something to happen to you. We're telling you that the day you became saved, something happened. You are now born of the Spirit. You are now in the Spirit. So where you are, how do you act? That's what it means to yield. You're already there. You're not going to get there. That's important. Hallelujah. And last month, I was sharing some principles with us from 1 Corinthians 14. And I began to explain to us how tongues and interpretation how it works. Because some of us think that when we say, go and prophesy, the challenge we have is that the minute you say, go and prophesy, some people just think you're talking about the Old Testament impression of prophecy. So when they come to you, they always want to give you a revelation that there's a problem. Because you don't have it. So they'll feel that to go and prophesy means when you are going to talk to somebody, reveal something. No, the Bible says prophecy is speaking unto men, edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. It doesn't contain any revelation. By the time you move into revelation, gives you have stepped into something else. So prophecy means you spoke to the person to comfort the person. You spoke what words based on what Christ has accomplished that strengthened the person. Now somebody else may go and minister to the person, and in the process of prophesying, reveal something as the person yields. Do you understand the difference? But simple gift of prophecy, which is prophecy in expression, does not contain any revelation at all whatsoever. So sometimes I feel when we say stand to your feet, go and minister to your neighbor, the reason why many of us are afraid, what will I now see now? What will I see? Because you are thinking that we say we go and prophesy, it means go and reveal something. No, it doesn't carry any revelation. Prophecy speaking unto men, edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. And we look at that in the book of Acts, because when they spoke in tongues and prophesied, there was no revelation in it. They just comforted people. And that's the basic truth thing that every single believer can do. So, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 now. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to what? Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them. Now, again, if you reverse it, because we're going to go back to what we looked at last week to understand. It says they began to speak. So, here's the average understanding that most people have, that they waited for the Spirit to give utterance, then they began to speak. Nope. Jesus had already told them what they will need to do, because God is not the one who needed to get ready. They were the ones who needed to get ready. Can you see the difference? Look at Luke chapter 24 now. We'll come back to the issue of worship. Just flow there. Hallelujah. Yeah. Luke 24, 49. Glory, glory, glory. And behold, let me ask you a question. Behold, is that a passive word or an active word? Passive or active? Okay. So, and behold, I send the promise of my Father where? Upon you. But tarry ye in the city of what? Jerusalem. Until ye be one endued with one power from on high. So last week we saw, what does it mean by power from on high? Again, remember that the Bible, though translated to English, is not an English book. It's an Eastern book. That means the original language that was used to write is Greek. So if you look at it from the original context and you compile it with scriptures, this is Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, is the one who wrote this book also, is telling you what Jesus said. But it doesn't tell you what Jesus meant. Hallelujah. It tells us what Jesus said. It doesn't tell us what Jesus meant. So when you look at the epistles of Paul, you will know what Jesus meant. What did Jesus say? Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be one endued with power from where? From one eye. Where is it referring to as one eye? Ephesians 1, verse 19. Where is one eye? Ephesians 1, 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him where? At his own right hand in the heavenlies. Jump to chapter 2 and verse 5. Chapter 2 and verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace you were saved, and has raised us up together and made us what? Sit together where? In heaven. So on high is a reference to the position that Christ occupies at the Father's right hand. The epistles teach us that Jesus doesn't occupy that position alone. That in him we were quickened, in him we were raised, in him we were made to sit together with Christ Jesus. So that's why Romans chapter 8 calls us joint heirs. Say, I'm a joint heir with Christ. What did you inherit? The Father's right hand. Hallelujah. That's where all authority and all power is. The Father's right hand. That's where you are. So when Jesus said, lo, behold, I send the promise of Father upon you, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from one eye. On eye is a reference to where they were. Hallelujah. If you understand what I just, let me see. You understand what I just said now. Hallelujah. I'm looking at your eyes. Did you understand what I just said now? Where is on eye? A vertical height or where we are? Where are you seated? So can we say the Father's right hand is on high? It simply means the highest place of authority. That's why the word high is used. So if it's the highest place of authority, where are you now in the highest place of authority? So it says where you are is where the power is. I'm going to explain another word that I'll make it make sense. It says, go back to that Luke 24. Let me explain another one. So he said, behold, or look, or see, observe, I send the promise. He didn't say, I will send the promise. Mm-hmm. You see? You can. He didn't say, I will send, I send. How will you know I send? You will be endued. You will be endued in English looks like the Holy Ghost will do something to you. But if you check the original rendering, it didn't say the Holy Ghost will do. It said you will do something with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because let me say it this way. Don't you think it looks partial when we are having this kind of meeting? You see some people, they are so blessed. Some people, they get so drunk. They're all over the place. And you come wondering, is it I'm Kana? This is how God just baptizes me. No, the person who seems to be experiencing more just yielded more. I belong to a community of drunkards. Right from school days. When I say drunkards now, I have never been drunk in the natural. But this spirit thing, regularly at meetings, we go home drunk. Regularly. It was normal. I mean, my affinity for things of the spirit was such that if I'm yet to get to a meeting, I'm on my way there. I will be inside the meeting by faith before the meeting gets there. That is my entry. The meeting will make the minister. If he has to turn to bless, something has to happen. Because I never go to a meeting in an ordinary manner. I never do that. Where the power of God is flowing. I don't go casually. My interest is not how well dressed I am. Well dressed. There are things more important than physical dressing. That's why when you are coming for this kind of meeting and you are more interested in the shoe you are wearing, you are in the wrong place. Your focus should be, how do I maximize and enjoy? There are some adventures you have. Somebody says, I don't need healing. I don't need financial blessing. I don't need increase. No. You have a time out with Jesus. Your life will be overall better. There's some things that happen to you that some people, you come from, when you are living, some spiritual faculties are so activated, you never knew they were even there. They asked the man, what happened to you when hands were laid upon you? He said, I fell. Say, what happened? He said, I was saved some years ago, but I've been trying to get away from my addiction to alcohol. They did everything they could possibly do. I've gone to 3 institutions. I never got free. He said, but when hands were laid upon me, 2 things happened. Every interest in alcohol died. He said, Jesus became more real to me when I got up. Just by the laying of hands in that kind of meeting. But why did that happen? He came expecting. Glory to God. So the glory of God was in manifestation. And the man took of that glory and enjoyed it. Because with God, there is no such thing as impossible. No such thing as impossible. So he says, behold, I send the promise of that. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be what? Endued. Now the word endued means to put on or to wear something on yourself. It's not a word that Jesus invented. It's a word that existed before the days of Jesus. Okay, in classical Greek, is the way they use in classical Greek is that if you are, let's say, interested in the lady, let me use that. This one, you won't forget. If I use that, you like gist. So if I use this way, you will remember. If you're interested in the lady, back in those days, the only way you can get a lady's attention is 3 ways. Number one, you are nobility. Number two, you are an extremely handsome man. Number three, you have accomplished certain things socially that you are recognized. Maybe you are like a warrior, a soldier. If you are none of the above, you have a problem. Because ladies will not listen to you. So they will go to a sorcerer to wear an identity for them. This is facto. So the person, so when you come before the lady and you're asking her, she either sees you as nobility for which you have no certificate, a soldier who has accomplished, who has fought wars and won, or an extremely handsome fellow, even though, let's leave the other part. You know, you are fearfully and wonderfully, emphasis on the fearful part. So they will wear an identity for you so that when the lady sees you, there's a way she will see you with that identity. That's the way they used to use it back then. Jesus now says, you'll be endued with the power, or you will put on power, or you will wear power. What is Jesus saying? The power is there. It is seemingly inactive until you demonstrate it. That's what he was saying. Tarry in cities until you put on power, or until you are ready to demonstrate it. It's not passive, it's active. Then next, it's not or past tense is a present continuous tense. That is, if you took power now, keep taking power. That is, don't expect you just continue. Did you take it now? Keep taking, or you are the factor that determines if it will continue. Say amen. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But we use the word endued with this next verse now. You will see what it means. Acts 1, 8. Let's read from verse 4. Acts 1 from verse 4. All the way down to verse 8, okay? We'll see. See what it says from verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem. Does that look at what we just read now? They should tarry where? In Jerusalem. Who was he speaking to? The 120. You know, you are not in Jerusalem. Are you in Jerusalem? So he says, that it should not be from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. We say to you, you have what? Heard of me. Next verse. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost, not many days from now. Next verse. When they therefore were come together, they asked of the same Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Next verse. But you shall what? Receive power. And I showed us last week, the one receive power there, there are two words. There's one that is passive, there's one that is active. The passive one means you welcome something that is coming your way. The active one means that it's not a matter of coming, it is there, you take it up. Hallelujah. So the one is using here is the one actively take power. It means to take up or to take from. You do it actively, deliberately. So it says you shall receive power or you shall take up power. Now it says after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, is telling you what happens when you have taken the word power. Let me rephrase that. If you read in English, here's what you read. I will have power after the Holy Ghost comes. Nope. I will take up power which will lead to external manifestation. That's what it means by the Holy Ghost coming upon you. Because the Holy Ghost doesn't come on you, the Holy Ghost lives where? In you. Say, I'm born of the Spirit. I have the Spirit. The Spirit lives in me. But there's the issue. We don't always see the Spirit in expression through you. So Jesus is teaching, how do you bring the Spirit into expression? He says, you take of the Spirit. Why? The Spirit is there. You are where the Spirit is. You are where the power is. You take of the power. You take of the Spirit and you put it on. So you are the one who will wear the power. You are the one who will wear the ability deliberately. So to wear means to put on external demonstration what is internal as a reality. Glory to God. That's what he's saying. And I showed us Acts chapter 8 last week. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. We contrast the two words received. Now, when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, notice the same English word receive, isn't it? But the original Greek is different. The word receive here is passive. The word receive there simply means they welcomed something that was offered to them. What was given to them? The word of God. So they went to preach to them and they welcomed the message or they accepted it. What was the result? They got saved. Glory to God. They got saved. And as I said to us last week, if a minister comes, I will welcome him here to minister to us. That's the word received there. That's different. If I extend a key to you or a Bible to you, I am the one offering. You are the one what? Accepting. But if you come forward and you take the key, that's different. You started it, you initiated it, you are the one who finish it. So to receive there means to actively take by yourself. Why? Because it's already there. Hallelujah. It won't need to be offered. It is already what? Available. So let me ask a question. If we don't see the Spirit in demonstration, is it God or you? Say me. Don't say you. You hear me? you say you. It's me. If we don't see it in demonstration, is it God or you? Let me ask another way. Is it the Spirit that demonstrates or you that demonstrate the Spirit? So the degree to which we will see the glory of God in manifestation is dependent on how much we yield. How do we yield? Intelligently according to knowledge. We know what to do. We act on what to do. So see what this is again. It says, when he heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Next verse. Look at next verse. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might what? Receive the Holy Ghost. Next verse. For as yet it was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized how? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, don't let that phrase fool you. It was falling upon none of them. The word falling there is Luke's way of recording an historical account. To fall means to see the spirit in expression. So don't be waiting for something to come down from everyone and fall and shake you and go. No, no, no. To fall there means that they didn't see any outward sign that they had the Holy Ghost. So let me ask you a question. How many of you got saved in a dramatic way? The day you got saved, you were shouting. You prayed for the next 5 hours. How many of you, that's what happened to you? How many of you got saved quietly? That even the preacher doubted your salvation. You've not seen that kind of thing before. Where the preacher will be like, the preacher used to people crying. And your eyes are dry. This sister, very stubborn. The demon is strong. And the way they are talking is like, well, you must cry. And eventually, as much again, you go, I lie a few days, you will let me go if I cry now. Because salvation is a thing of the heart. Hallelujah. It's not external. But the demonstration of the spirit is external. Glory to God. So it was falling upon none of them that there was no external sign that they had received the spirit. Did they receive the spirit? Yes. How did they receive it? They were born of the spirit. They received the word of God. They were received. So they sent the apostles to help them lay hold on the spirit or to express the spirit. That's what is apostle. So let me say it again. When they said that the apostles lay hands, it's not like when they lay hands, something that came from heaven. Bam. No. Whatever was inside of them came to the surface. Hallelujah. That's what happened. They helped them to lay hold on what they had received. That's what happened. So the apostles had, and they sent Peter and John. And when they came, something happened. They were filled with the spirit, or whatever they already had came into expression. Glory to God. So go back to Acts 2:4 again. Acts 2:4. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with what? Other tongues. As the Spirit gave them. You know, we can read this way. And they began to speak with the other tongues, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost because the Spirit gave them utterance. It's a better way to read it. So if you read it the first way and they were all filled, you are waiting for them to be filled. But the Bible says they began to speak. How did they take up the Holy Ghost? By speaking. In this Acts chapter 8 we just read, they also took up the Spirit by speaking. How did Peter and John know that they were filled? They began to speak. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Verse 45. Acts 10, 45. And they of the circumcision, which believe were astonished, as many as came with who? Peter. Because that on the Gentiles also was one? Was born one? So look at the consistent phrase Luke is using. If you don't look at the epistles of Paul, Luke can mislead you in expression. What is Peter calling? The Spirit was poured. He's talking about them speaking with tongues. That's what he meant. They got saved and they began to speak with other tongues. That's what Luke means by the Spirit was what? Poured forth. Hallelujah. See what happened. It said, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. For they heard them speak with tongues. And what? Magnify God. So, if people get saved, can you know on the outside? Not necessarily. How do they get saved? By the Spirit. How will you know that they have the Spirit when they take hold of the Spirit? So, Peter came to preach to Cornelius and his household. And when he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell. Simply means that something happened. They responded to the Spirit and they took up and they began to express in the tongues. Peter knew that they had received because of how they expressed themselves. Look at Acts 19. Acts 19. We're looking at this text because it's important. Acts 19. Let's read from verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was occurring, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Next verse. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which shall come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they had these, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6. And when Paul had what? He laid his hands upon them. So laying on of hands is a spiritual assist to people laying hold on the things of the Spirit. Through the laying of hands, there's what you call impartations or a spiritual assist, or I help you to take hold of what is yours supernaturally. So he says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, or I was an external demonstration of the Spirit. Say amen. I'm trying to get your minds away from thinking the Holy Ghost came upon them means something suddenly happened. Because the mindset most people have is this, that, and I say, Mr. Defoe, do you have an utterance? No. Nothing's happening. You know what he just did? He has just checked his senses. And I didn't ask him, do you feel anything? Because what I asked you of is not available in the realm of senses. Hallelujah. It's like me saying, Mr. Lemoshi, do you feel saved? If he's feeling, none of us can make heaven. How many of you feel saved every day? As you just wake up like this, in fact, the angels are singing for you. No, it's not my feeling. The testimony of God's word is a guarantee of salvation. Say amen. Not your feeling. Now, the things of the Spirit are exactly that way. How did you become saved? By faith. How do you express the Spirit? By faith. What does faith mean? Faith means you believe the testimony of God's word. I'm born of the Spirit. I can and I should express the Spirit. That's faith. Now, how many of us are filled with evidence of speaking tongues? You can speak in every hand. Stop. How many of you check to see whether the tongues will work when you open your mouth? How many of you? Let me ask a more natural question. How many of you check to see whether your leg will work when you're putting it down today? You just got up, isn't it? You somehow unconsciously expected that your leg will work. In fact, the motion of getting from the bed was an unconscious one. You knew you were going to get up. You thought about it and you just stood up. Isn't it? And your mind sends signal to the body, we are getting up. We are going to bat. Beat, rather. So, the same way you did it without thinking, unconsciously you also speak in tongues. Meanwhile, every time you speak in tongues, you're just taking up some of the power. You have just put on the Spirit. You are now hearing what is on your inside, and it's a deliberate action. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when we say, we're going to laugh in the Spirit, you are not waiting for something to make you laugh. That's the issue. Some of you are thinking that, I wait for the laughter to come. Where is it coming from? It is where you are seated. I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost to speak with tongues. He doesn't speak with tongues. He supplies utterance which you used to speak. He doesn't speak in tongues. Let's all dance in the Spirit. I'm not a dancing person. Your spirit will disagree. Every believer is a dancing spirit, a singing spirit. You are a rejoicing spirit. Say, I'm a rejoicing spirit. You know, your spirit doesn't know you are conservative or you are reserved. You know, say, we are very reserved. Your spirit doesn't know. Your spirit is unaware you are reserved. It doesn't know you are conservative. Your spirit just knows you are 100% joyful in Christ Jesus. That's what your spirit knows. And your spirit will act accordingly, but your spirit now needs your will to yield to that rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, again, where you're seated right now, where are you seated? Where are you seated? Somebody said on high. Beautiful. See, I'm seated on high. That is the Father's right hand. Heavenly place in Christ Jesus. On the heavenlies in Christ. That's where you're seated. Now, what does the Bible say about those who are seated? Psalm 2 verse 4. What does the Bible say? Read it to yourself. What does it say? Please put it up. Put it up. What does it say? Where are you seated? People that are seated, what do they do? Let me explain. Wait. When they say he that sits, somebody through a process arrived at that place. It was a journey. Christ died and was buried. On the third day, he rose. He went and ascended and sat in that place, but he didn't go alone. He took you along. So all the victory he wrought over works of darkness to show that that victory was complete. He was made to sit there. And because he got the victory for you and as you, you also are seated there. In essence, because that victory is complete, it can't be reversed. Those who sit where he sits, this is what they do. They laugh. They don't mourn, they don't complain. They what? They laugh. What does that laughter mean? our victory is perpetual. Glory to God. So it that sees seven shall what? Can you imagine how strange it is to the ears of God? We are now saying, but I don't feel like laughing. It's like saying, I don't feel saved. I don't feel I'm more than a conqueror. All those things have nothing to do with feeling. They are facts. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. That's a fact. I'm victorious. That's a fact. I have authority. That's a fact. I walk in power. That's a fact. I move in miracles. That's a fact. Hallelujah. That's what makes us laugh. You know, the only reason I'm not laughing is because I'm... I don't know about you, but I have exercised myself such that if you see me not laughing, I'm holding it back. I'm not cooking it. It's always there on the surface. In fact, it comes out at string hours, string places. I'm not looking at the road. So, yeah, what's going on? Cool here. Say, huh? What's happening? Victory. 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 And I discovered something interesting from practice. That one of the fastest ways to flow in the gift of the Spirit for me, I don't know about you, is when I laugh. When I want to eat, I just... So you sponsor the next victory by your rejoicing. So you release a bountiful harvest by your laughter. So you increase the pace of events in your life by your singing. Because it's up to you, not up to him. But up to him who lives in you. And by his ability, you turn things around. You open a new chapter. Even that transaction that seemingly seems to be delayed, you fast track it. Even as you rejoice mightily in the Holy One. You see that? Have you given a deadline? The person who gave a deadline knows it's not possible. You that you are giving know it's not possible. But there's somebody who sits in the heavens, and you are seated with him. You roll with the high and mighty. I mean, they give you a target. It doesn't make sense. But you are not dealing with sense. You are dealing with God. You understand? So before the moment starts, you tell yourself, remind yourself where you are sitting. Far above. All principality and power. He said, this is the 14th day of the month of July. And I'm still behind. But in Christ, I'm ready well ahead. What did you say now? Let's show. You know when you want to show? You know when you show? You want to show. I mean, even what means to show. When you want to show, let's show who we are, small. Because the way you are laughing, your laughter is from one eye. And whatsoever is above all. Hallelujah. It's above all. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, if we come here in the month of August and bring worship, we all just start laughing, you'll be shocked at the intensity of God's glory that be manifestation. Because only those who sit where we sit laugh the way we do. Our shouting has meaning. Our dance has a song. Our singing has a melody. It is Christ and Christ all over again. It's a triumph that knows no end. It's a victory that can never be reversed. It's a song that never knows anything that's called defeat. We are in him and forever we will be. So all assist is given to us. Heaven's backing is behind all sons. Victory is what we feed from. Victory is how we roll. Rejoicing as we express it. Rejoicing is how we win. We win at will because victory is already ours. Therefore, against us can nothing stand. Against us, nothing can successfully hold sway. Already we are one with him. We are seated with him. We are mighty in him. We are victorious in him. We express that victory from one dance to another. From one song to another. From one laughter to another. Victory, victory, victory is how we flow in him. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. I mean, we can just camp on just this scripture, because when the person that was writing scripture wrote it, he that sits in the heavens, it was prophesying. No one was seated there. Psalm 110 verse 1 will yet be fulfilled. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand. It was Paul that told us, when God told Jesus, sit down at the right hand, he also told by your two. He told me to sit too. Sit here. Nothing can harass you. Harass all things. Oppress all things. Overcome all things. Exercise mastery. You cannot be confused where you are seated. The fountain of all wisdom is where you are seated. Hallelujah. That's what it means. But you learn to yield. A believer doesn't wait. You are a believer. You have believed something. You believe to get into something. You're already in that something, which is Christ. So victory is all around you. Everywhere you look, there's power. Hallelujah. You take off the power through singing. You take off the power through tongues. You take it through interpretation. You take it through laughter. You take it through shouting. Whatever you do, just take off the power. Hallelujah. You shall receive, lay hold, take off the power. That's what the Bible says. So you're not waiting. As I don't say, I'm waiting for when the atmosphere is right. Atmosphere? Where I am, you create the atmosphere by yourself. You can get drunk at will whenever you're ready. So this is not something that happens to you. This is something you make happen because you're already one with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't forget this instruction is very important. You make these things happen because out of you, there are things that will flow forth. And I don't know, sometimes we sometimes separate our daily life or our Christian life from our work life. You see, believers at the place of work, you are acting confused the way others are confused. And yet Christ has made unto you wisdom. That means there's a wisdom for that hour. When I say, let us lead a protest against the management, there's another wisdom that you have that's higher. When all the astrologers in Persia, back in those days, in Babylon, when they came together and said, whatever the king has asked for, no man has ever asked it from a man. The secret is with the gods. Daniel came forth. There's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. He will reveal the king's secrets. Daniel was different. He didn't lay protest. When they were all saying we will all die, Daniel told the chamberlain, he said, tell the king, let him give us a little time. We will reveal to the king his secret. That was a man that was not saved. How much more you that you are in Christ? And Christ has become your wisdom. You cannot be perplexed or confused. The wisdom of God is in you at all times. You know what to do. You know what to do. Hallelujah. You know what to do. You know what to do. Do you know to that seeming affliction that has refused to go? You know what to do. You laugh now, it will not come back again. Have the last laugh now. 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 Your answer is here. Your answer is here. Your answer is here. Glory to God. Glory to God. You are a dangerous being. Glory to God. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling out of strongholds. You see them playing hanky panky in the office. You see the contract that you deserve, they are trying to award it to another. You want to be protesting when you are seated, when you are ahead of all principality and power in Christ Jesus. No, you get up and say that we're going to measure our victory now. We're going to measure how much decree is on display. We're going to decide the outcome of this matter now. You stand to your feet, you go to a corner, you dance a little. You dance a little. And as you are dancing, you are shouting more. As you are shouting, utterance is coming out of your mouth. I've received all kinds of news in my life. At different times, where it looks as though every door was shut. But the Bible says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. To trust means my reliance, my dependence, my confidence is in what he has done. I cannot be stranded. I cannot be defeated. My kind does not fail. My kind never fails. We not only open doors where there's no door, we create handle where there's no handle. That's what we do. That's what we're born to do. We're wired this way. We don't take no for an answer and sit down more. No, we laugh and we laugh. We laugh and we laugh. We laugh and we laugh. Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. I've told myself this month that's coming, I'm not going to fail Jesus. I will take off the power. And when I finish taking, I will take more. And when I finish that one, I will take more. I'll just keep taking. I keep taking. I keep taking. I keep taking. I keep spreading the fragrance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's victory everywhere you look. You know, in this activity that we're involved in just now this morning, I see angels submitting forms. I see them getting things done just this morning. They are bringing events. They are bringing events. Speeding things up for you and me. Speeding things up for you and me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know, everything we've done so far this morning are physical demonstrations of the Spirit. They are spiritual demonstrations too of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The spirit of that reality that is has in Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo, glory. Woo, glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I cannot be shortchanged. I cannot be ignored. I cannot be defeated. I can never be stranded. I cannot fail. It's too late to be defeated. I'm already seated with Christ Jesus. Far above, far above, far above. I'm not trying to win. I've already won. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sit down a minute. And as we continue, Egusu Savrana Tunevrani Lene Mosham Gratiko Sakya Sikolimania Suye 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 Suye. Woo! Bakase Lebron Redia last year. Esusu Brakietelia Tish the Gold. You walk so far by the energy of the flesh. You move thus far by your own strength and power. But now, like a speeding train, 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 the ability of God will cause you to make much progress in such a short time that the next few months there will be unprecedented progress that you will experience on every front. In the name of the Lord Jesus, glory to God. Glory to God. No more stagnation. 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 Full rain. Full rain. Full rain. Full rain. Full rain. Woo! Oh. You know, just run like this and run like this. There's a new caliber. A new caliber. There's a new caliber of clients. 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 Amen. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. New shoes, a new office. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Oh. Woo! to God. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Yeah, just look at me. Says, harassments. I hear harassments. Persecutions arising. Ah, a little discouragement. Ah, I thought this was God. I thought it was God that helped me. He is the one that helped you. And the enemy can do nothing. He can do nothing. For the victory is complete already. It's complete already. Oh, just laugh at them. Just laugh at them. Just laugh at them. It will vanish away. Until there's no trace of it again. Until there's no trace of it again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Father. We exalt you. Let me tell you why I'm laughing. They said you are not fat. Who is not fat? Who is not fat? Glory to God. They will soon learn of the fertility that's yours in Christ. They will soon learn. They will soon see. They will soon behold the manifest reports. They will soon behold the manifest reports of what he has done. Glory to God forevermore. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. We've done some physical demonstrations mixed with spiritual demonstrations. They are spiritual, they are physical demonstrations. As we continue, look and say for a teach the guest. Is a sugar to lucky. I can so crotakan in the akishto. So bro, save an angalian eagle in the gig. When it looks as though they bring you an award, even that which you said I do not qualify or desire, while you are holding the first, they will bring the second. While you are handing the second, they will bring the third. Until your cup overflows. So recognition will come from seemingly unknown quarters. Recognition will come. Recognition and approval will come from seemingly unknown quarters. And the Lord will be glorified. The Lord will be glorified. And you will be greatly blessed. The famine is over. The famine is over. The famine is over. Glory to God. Yeah. It's over. A season of plenty is come. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 You can have your seat. Now, in our gathering this morning, none of the things that was made manifest now seemed to be here. How many of you know that? Everything is not there. So everything we express now has always been there. We just expressed it. Now I want you to think this way. Imagine we come and go home and not express what we express now. God won't be limiting us. We will be limiting him. Which is, all the teaching was directed towards getting us to this point. Then we now refuse to yield. God won't be the one limiting. We will be the one limiting him. So as we prepare, remember, towards this set of meetings, we're praying at least an hour every day. Somebody says, why? The supply of the Spirit for these meetings. The supply of the Spirit for these meetings. Then we're learning from God's word how to yield. That the responsibility is on us to yield. It's not on him. He is always ready. You cannot make a demand beyond his ability. All our demands are always less than what he can do. Hallelujah. Bible says, now unto him, Ephesians 3:20, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can what? Ask or think. According to what? The power that worketh in us. So we're going to go deeper by the grace of God. And we're going to look at God's word more. And then as we learn to yield more and more, I went for a meeting recently, and Brother Stephen went with me, and I've been to 3 places like that where I ministered that particular way, and they began to clap. And when you go to certain places, the more you grow older as a minister, you learn that even when you're going to correct, you have to be careful because you're under authority. So I told them, please, can you stop clapping? What was I doing? I called people that were sick out, those who had physical symptoms in their bodies, and I told them, look at me. And some I pointed at them, and we healed immediately. No, it looks spectacular, but the challenge is this: that is not when, because when I did that, those people were healed instantly. That is not the time to clap. Clapping is applauding men. Praising is celebrating God. So I told them, do you want me to continue? He said, yes. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. You were there in that meeting. And then they did. Everyone who came out, as in everyone without exception. If I remember 2 cases who had serious, severe back pains. So as I ministered to them, I sensed to tell them, go sit on the altar. Second person, go sit on the altar. 2 of them sat on the altar. So by the time I finished meeting the last person, I turned and looked at them by the Spirit. I said, is it gone? It was gone. That is not when to put your hands together. That's replacing brass with gold, or gold with brass, rather. That's when to lift up your hands. Who did it? Jesus. So who do we praise? So if you want it to continue, what do? You praise him. So when you switch from praising to clapping, you have just short-circuited the flow of power. That's what you have done. So that's why I said, as we learn some intricacies about worship, we'll have a stronger manifestation of God's power in our midst. Then we'll see more gifts of the Spirit. The mitre, Dr. Kenegi used to call it the mitre gives manifestation. Because when we use the word the glory of God in manifestation, and I've seen a few times when it's manifestation, we have surgeries done on men's hearts, done on men's physical bodies, and then done on men's futures. Things you can't explain. Most of them, when the glory is in operation, we just use the word glory. But what we are really saying is that there is no gift that's required that's not manifesting the glory. Particularly power gifts. Gifts of healings, working of miracles, the gift of special faith is always an expression in the glory. But guess what? God is not responsible for how strong that manifestation is. We are. So we line up in worship. Whoever comes to lead us in worship, when we're worshiping, make sure your heart is in agreement. Focus on the words. Celebrate Jesus. Let your heart be tuned in. There's nothing wrong before you come, you making demand. We'll talk about that. Because it makes your way to also help the manifestation. Bible says that earnestly desire and covet the best spiritual gifts. One of the ways to do that is that before you come for the meeting, place a demand on the power of God. Place a demand on the power of God. And when you do, you are actively releasing the gifts of the Spirit into operation. That's what you're doing. That's the American can just stop and just focus on you. And that would just be it. In one of our meetings, I think it was Captain that invited them. A couple came. As we just ran the worship, I just took them. I wanted to open the Bible. I just had myself say, you didn't want to come. We told him, why are we going? Is God not in our church? But I sent my angels to bring you. I didn't know who I was talking to. He called me after the meeting. Pastor, as you were speaking, I invited a couple. They came from the back. They had issues with conception. And then the husband has been out of job for 3 months. They tried everything and they can't get a job. He said, when you give that word, the husband looked at the wife. Because that was what the wife told him for the letter. Why must you go to that church? He's gone on in our church. He said, but I sent my angels to persuade you. When he left that meeting, a month after, the husband got a job. The month after, he was promoted twice. And that same month, the wife got pregnant. Do you understand? So when the glory is manifestation, there is no limit to how much of God we can enjoy. But it has to do with us. Oh, back in the days, I used to think, just pray and pray and pray. And prayer has its place. But our heart has its place. There's a way we can place a demand such that we'll see we are going to intelligently maximize. So again, as you're preparing, if you're praying 1 hour every day like we have instructed, that's one of the ways you cooperate. Make sure that you are actively placing a demand. There are meetings that we cannot end because some people are placing a demand on the flow of God's power that I must believe this one, it will not finish. That the pastor tries to close, himself is closed. You understand? Because the demand is strong. That's how we come. You don't come passively. That's why you don't come and you've already made up your mind. Oh, they're shouting. I'm not going to be shouting. No, it is whatever it takes. He told blind Bartimaeus, shut up. He's going to the city. It's not you he's talking about. But the man cried the more. Until Jesus said, come. The same Buddha said, why are you shouting? Is he coming for you? The same Jesus said, bros, he's calling you. Hypocrisy. He's calling you. What if he kept quiet? But Jesus stood still and turned around. What do you want me to do for you? So when you're coming for this kind of meeting, it's not a quiet meeting. It's not when you come back. The proper comportment is singing, shouting, dancing, rejoicing. That's when I come. That's when you start feeling or you know the kind of outfit I'm wearing. I can't afford to roll on the floor. You better roll. I'll be blessed. Amen. That's when you know start looking at you're checking yourself. This shoe will get dirty. Which shoe? Hallelujah. You get set because your heart is set and prepared. And the flow of God's power. Lift up your hands this morning and just give him praise and thanks this morning. I believe you're blessed this morning. Give him thanks.